racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Friday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. And one last morning at OBS, still at Ocala. It's very subdued now and quiet, and it's actually kind of funny. They actually kind of stripped the place down, and then I guess they reorient it. It's the first time I've been in this position to see what happens after a sale. But everybody has scattered to the winds, and any late arrangements that were made yesterday, saw a few more horses leave the grounds and head to their new homes, or in some cases, their old home, to prepare for either a private sale or maybe to campaign privately and maybe get sold, you know, down the road after breaking out. So the sale season gets a pause. They certainly around here. I absolutely am impressed. Same thing we talk about at Keeneland and Fasig, you know, the work that goes into the sales and the execution and virtually every part of the team that you see here at OBS or at any of the sales agencies. It is a tremendous, intense period of work, and now they'll just get set for another round coming, you know, just in literally in about 2+ weeks, which is what's funny about them kind of taking everything out of the. I'm still in the lobby, and they pretty much have taken everything out, but they're going to put it all back. So I'll have to ask Tom how he arranges that. I think we'll probably get one last visit in with Tom Ventura as we close and head south, because we'll be at Gulfstream all next week. And actually staying up, staying in Boca, which haven't done in a while. So we'll reorient everything for next week. And, of course, Gulfstream will get ready for Florida Derby Day. In the meantime, the venues, I can't limit the venue conversation, of course, to the U.S. when it comes to fairgrounds, Turfway and Sunland on Sunday, because the Dubai World Cup, and we're going to talk to Marcus. We're going to do what we can. We're going to see. I think he's at that function that they have, you know, the night before. It's in the 5 o'clock in the afternoon range. Yeah, I think it's 5 o'clock. Is that right? 8 hours? I think it's 8 hours. So we're going to catch Marcus Hirsch, who's on site, but of course he's also done all the work for the end of the fairgrounds meet and Louisiana Derby Day. You know, it's funny, I'm sure we'll talk about it because we've got a parade of conversation visits coming that will focus. Fairgrounds is the major focus, Turfway sort of the entry mate. And I should mention, I had hinted about the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5 that they have instituted for tomorrow. And if you haven't seen the sequence, it's the New Orleans Classic, the Bourbonette Oaks, the Fairgrounds Oaks, the Jeff Ruby, and the Louisiana Derby. 5:04 Eastern is post for that New Orleans Classic, which is an interesting enough set led by Art Collector, and not exclusive to Art Collector by any means. West Willpower, Mr. Wireless, who's become a bit of a pet of mine, but the race seems to center on Art Collector and West Willpower, and then the three-year-old action, the Bourbonette and the Ruby, the Fairground Oaks, and the Louisiana Derby. I'm sure that Kevin Kirstein's going to visit, and KK will put his Bayou Bluegrass ticket together. We'll get Marcus's opinions, obviously, on everything at Fairgrounds. Kevin Kilroy and Joe Christofek from Fairgrounds as they get ready to shift tack. And, of course, Joe will head up to Churchill. Scully and Shapiro will get their opinions on everything. And, of course, Shap has been following Turfway all through the winter. So we'll get his thoughts, get Scully's plays. Hammer, we'll check in with Hammer for those that are looking ahead. No racing today, as we told you, at Santa Anita. But they'll pick it up for a Saturday, Sunday, Monday schedule. They, of course, have got, with Gulfstream, they've got the coast-to-coast. And tomorrow, Gulfstream 8, 9, 10, and Santa Anita 3, 4. The stake tomorrow is the Desert Stormer, the sprint. And then on Sunday, they come back again, 8, 9, 10, Gulfstream, and Santa Anita 3, 5. So a pair of coast-to-coast. And in New York, we'll talk to Nick Tamaro later. And it you got the Texas Champions Day, of course, at Sam Houston. Only those within the confines, the friendly confines of Texas, will have an opportunity on that front. But we'll let Nick at least, you know, pay tribute to what's going on there. But we'll also hit Aqueduct, the cross-country Aqueduct 8, 9, 10 with 11 horses in each. There is that starter allowance sequence tomorrow, essentially a, you know, kind of a Claiming Crown-esque slate at Aqueduct tomorrow, and nice fields for it. And then at Oaklawn, you got the Purple Martin and a restricted maiden group. That's the cross-country. And then on Sunday, actually, didn't really get a chance to look at the Florida Cup, but the Florida Cup races at Tampa on Sunday. One more big day at Oldsmar. And then combine that with the Sunland Derby, and you got a very nice sequence for Sunday. They're going to do a double-barreled approach to the cross-country. You got the Tampa 9th and 10th, which is a sprint and turf distaff. There's an allowance at Aqueduct in that slate of races, and then the Sunland Oaks and the Sunland Derby, where the invaders look, the partial invaders, the Baffert, and there's the Doug O'Neill horse that the Delmar partners, that Henry Q, that won the prep, won the Mind That Bird. So maybe we'll get a glance in at Sunland. So who else? I will touch base with Mike Welch for a quick hit in advance of next week. Want to get the latest on the way the Florida Derby card is shaping up, and there might actually be a couple of spots that Mike, as he did last week, can hit us. All right, so Marcus just confirming with me here, and let's, you know what, let's do that. Let's, Marcus is apparently having, he's as he would say to me, rookie error. He says his battery is not so great. So we're going to do a quick hit with Marcus, and this way he can have phone power for his, to take video of, I guess they have, right, they have fireworks and whatnot. So a chance to reach into the desert and have Marcus Hirsch join us. Marcus, good morning.
Good evening.
good evening, too. It's 5 o'clock there, right? It's 8 hours?
It's 5 o'clock.
All right. Are you at that party? There's a big party, right, the night before?
Oh, not that I ever get invited to.
All right. Well, whatever you're doing, you've been how many times to this event?
I don't know. Lost track. 12?
Wow. All right.
Invasor was my first.
That's a good one,
I think.
Well, nothing wrong with being there for his performance. Well, Marcus
Gerlin.
Yeah.
Anyway, yep, here we are. I've been here for, it feels like, several months.
Marcus, let me get a couple of ideas about this card. I have not looked at it closely, and I haven't followed the carnival.
Jeez, come on, man.
I'm sorry. I can't follow the lead that you and Steve Anderson set. It's very hard.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
talk about the World Cup, and I did look at the races enough to see some spots that are really competitive. And what are your thoughts in here?
I don't know. Country Grammar actually looks better to me than he did last year, but I'm still trying to beat him. Not that he's that short a fight. I mean, he could win. A couple things. There's not much pace. Pantalasa is probably going to get the lead, clearly. I thought that, I was thinking Super Corinto was going to push him, but then looking more closely at his races, I don't know that he's going to be ridden that way at all. I just don't, not sure there's anyone else to even go with that horse, which I think makes him dangerous. Because he will stay a mile and a quarter, he has before. And I think the 14 post is a bad draw for Country Grammar, worse than the 15 for Pandalas and the 13 for Algiers. Algiers has been outside in all his two races here. And I think they'd be happy to give up some ground to get a clean stocking strip with him. Country Grammar, on the other hand, I could easily see getting hung out no man's land. I just have the sense that with eight Japanese horses here that one of them is going to win. There's only one last year, Chua Wizard, and he ran third. And I think there are better horses here than that. But I don't think the horses other than Pantalasa coming out of Saudi Arabia are the Japanese horses that I would want. And then, the Teo Canes, I think he's probably passed his best. And Ushba Desoro, he beat Teo Canes last time out at Kawasaki, where they have terrible kickback. He got a perfect trip. And when I looked at the form before I came here, I had probably next to no interest in Bella Azul. But as soon as I saw him on the track on Monday morning, I started having interest in him. And he's just, has lived up to that first impression and through his blowout Wednesday morning, which was awesome. He won the Japan Cup, so the inherent quality is there. I know some people have said he was pretty fortunate to get through when a lot of horses got stopped in a best stretch run in that race, which is true. Also a mile and a half back to a mile and a quarter. And he was formerly a dirt horse to start his career and doesn't have the dirt form of the other Japanese dirt horses, but apparently this horse had leg problems when he was young and just needed some time to find himself. He's going to be a big price. And that's my pick, Bella Azul.
10-1. A couple of other quick notes, though. Not a Japanese horse, but a horse campaigned in Japan, Cafe Pharaoh, the American Pharaoh out of Paul Pompa's, the late Paul Pompa's Mary's Follies, third in the Saudi Cup, and I thought he deserved a look. And Crown Pride, no interest in Crown Pride?
Not really.
All right.
I mean, Country Grammar beat all those horses at a distance short of his best. I think he'll beat them again. Algiers is second choice. He's close second choice behind Country Grammar with the British bookmakers. That horse has gotten a lot of support. Boy. I don't know that I quite buy it, but it's proven over the track. It's not a great World Cup, but I think it's really interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and of course, the Japan part of the equation is notable throughout the entire slate. Let's back up.
Clay got 27 Japanese horses.
Yep.
On Wednesday morning when they all came to do their work, I mean, it was like it was dizzy, so many of these horses. And there are some really, really good horses here, including in the Shima Classic, which you probably were about to reference.
I was. Equinox seems very, very imposing, but Rebel's Romance presence intrigues me, but those are the only two. Anything else would be a surprise.
That's probably true. Equinox is going to win. That's about it.
Yeah.
To me, it's a question of if Rebel's Romance really fires. You know, he did he did have to miss an intended prep with a minor issue, and he's been a horse with issues. Yeah, I don't know. The most it off is the other horse that is a little under the radar. Clearly, he didn't face anything like he's meeting in Saudi Arabia, but he did win by 7 lengths and looked very good doing it. He also made a good impression coming here this week. This might be a horse that's driving this winter. I don't think he can win, but he could beat Rebel Roman.
Backing up to the Dubai Turf, the mile in the eighth, and I don't have anything, you know, really clever other than to note that Vindegaard interests me a little bit
more. Yeah.
Right?
Why was he that price on the line?
I don't know.
He missed by a nose. I mean, I gave him no shot 2 years ago, and we ran second, and he just loves, he's great over this track. I mean, I don't think he can win. I just can't see that, really. I think with Theropos and Joe Deuce, I mean, those are better horses probably right now than Pantalaza looked coming into last year. Anyway, Lord North, he's probably in comparable form, but I don't know if he's good enough. To me, it was between Joe Deuce and Theropos in that race, and I think Theropos will be the bigger price. He's the one stretching out. He's been a miler, but I think that there just aren't 1,800-meter races that are good enough for him. And the other horse, coming back, very good horse, beat Equinox in the Japanese Derby last spring. He's got very consistent form and was incredible in his last start, passing 13 horses in the last 300 meters. He's really good. Fabulous race. Theropos for me.
Very good. Moving into the Golden Shaheen, the sprint, and as always, you know, you got some American invaders. Baffert shows up with Hopkins, Peter Miller with CZ Rocket, but Gunite seems to be the one that you want to talk about. And
doesn't he run over this field?
I think so too. Yeah, I do.
I mean, I can't believe his price. He's been a big price with the bookmakers and fixed odds for weeks. He came down a little, and then they think he threw bad. I don't think he threw bad. I don't care that he's outside. He's going to want to just stalk anyway. The horse that's getting all the attention is Lemon Pop, but this race is kind of too short for him. I mean, we'll see. Maybe he can back up to it, but I think tonight, if he runs his race, and I don't know why he wouldn't, he did fine in Saudi Arabia. He just ran into an absolute freak on that day. I think he'll win.
You can't run this race without Switzerland, the old Steve Asmussen horse, who's now 9 years old.
We got two 9-year-olds. CZ Rocket and Switzerland, the battle of the 9-year-old.
It's great. We should mention Lemon Pop is a Lemon Drop kid. He's got a North American pedigree. Let's talk about the Derby.
Yeah.
The UAE Derby, and again, we've got American interest in here. Worcester, who I took a shine to over the winter for Baffert. O'Neill has got Tall Boy and Odd G's. There's a horse, though, that kind of jumped off the page at me, a weirdo horse. The Brazilian bred S. Unico kind of caught my attention.
Why did he jump off the page?
I don't know. There was something about...
you got to bet him. He's going to be a huge price.
I'm going to. And I thought this was a very competitive group. What are you doing in here?
Yeah, they're loving Cairo in England. He's a solid favorite. I mean, he's fine. He's on the Mendelsohn route, but he doesn't look quite as good as Mendelsohn. He's all right. I think he'll run well. Tall Boy, the UAE, the horse is coming out of the UAE 2000 Guineas and the other prep, what is it, the Albasic, they're usually a cut below, but I kind of like Tall Boy. I think he's done well here. He was not a top-class American, and that's why he's here, but I kind of feel like he might have blossomed. He ran well in this one race here, and he really caught the eye galloping a couple days this week. I took him over Dura Rede, Group 1 winner in Japan. That's pretty good. And also a winner over 9 furlongs on dirt. I think he's maybe the best of the Japanese. And you can expect pretty much that any of the Japanese horses would get enough Derby qualifying points. Tomorrow, to come to the Derby, will be coming to the Derby. I think all those... All, the connections of everyone except maybe Perrier or whatever. They're maybe not 100%, but the other horses want to, and probably Cairo is on that track as well.
Interesting. All right.
Oh, Worcester. I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard to watch the works from where I was, but he didn't work very well on Monday. But whatever that's worth, I think he's usually in company, and also he's become 3-year-old in a new place. But he was, you know, he didn't change leads. He was looking at everything. He, you know, the jock was asking him pretty good to just do any sort of gallop out. Not exactly what I wanted to see.
Fair enough. Let's hit the other two races of North American interest. We'll skip the 2-mile race. The Alquaz Sprint. Brendan Walsh shows up with Casadero, the only North American interest. And then in the Godolphin Mile, usually a spot where that gets targeted. But again, nobody showed up for this. What are we doing in those two?
God, why did nobody show up for that? I don't get it.
I know.
I mean, it's not a great race. The Gadol and the Alquaz. Well, Alda's team, I ended up picking on top. The 3-year-old. I worried that after three races already and peaking in his last start, he might be over the top. He's not on the top, just being a train. He gets like almost 10 pounds from the older males. And he overcame an inside draw, and the world who pays any attention knows you want to be drawn outside. There's a big crest on the track, and if you're down inside, you're like looking up, trying to come uphill at the other horses. He overcame that. He's got 8, I think. I think he's going to be pretty, I think he's going to be formidable. And now, well, Alsu Heil, on the other hand, is cutting back for Godolphin. He's going to be a little iffy going 6 furlongs. Anyway, he threw 2. That's not good. I mean, at 7/8 around a bend, he'd be the sure winner, but I don't know, cutting back. But now you're going to have to help me. Do you have the PPs in front of you, Steve?
I do.
Hugo Palmer's horse, who ran in Saudi Arabia. What's that horse's name?
Hugo Palmer's horse is Flaming Rib.
Flaming Rib, that's it, Flaming Rib. Flaming Rib, when I took a closer look, is he's pretty damn good. He might, I mean, he's got some really good form, and he can improve off that last race. I think he's going to be tough.
He's coming off a win in Qatar that O'Shane Murphy.
Oh, in Qatar, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
$400,000.
I think he has 2 horses, yeah. Anyway, not a great renewal of this race, you know. I think probably the weakest one I've seen, which is why I think Aldous is going to have a pretty good chance.
Very good. Did we talk? Did we?
Godolphin Mile? I have no idea. Okay. I mean, I don't even remember who I picked.
All right, I'll look it up. Watson's got a horse in there that's 30-1 that I thought was a silly line.
Yeah, I picked him second.
Right, Golden Goal. Why is he 30-1?
Oh, wait. He has 2 horses in there.
Oh, he's got Prince Edgy, too. Prince Edgy.
Prince Edgy is going to, I think he's going to be competitive.
8-1.
The horse I picked was 5th in the prep, I think, and 2nd in the race last year. What's that horse's name? You have to understand, I'm so sleep deprived, it's just unbelievable.
I hear you. You do have Appleby in there with Siskiny, of course, that'll be...
That's
the Gold Cup. Actually, you're right. I'm turning... Too many pages here. You're talking about last year, where is it? Desert Wisdom? Desert Wisdom? Marcus? Marcus,
hello.
There we
Marcus
go.
Lost you there for a second.
That's all right. Desert Wisdom.
Desert Wisdom sounds reasonable.
Marcus is providing Desert Wisdom. All right, Marcus. Let's turn to the second half of your day tomorrow. After this ends, you're going to turn around and stay up for the action from Fairgrounds, and let's talk about the Derby, which came up very interesting and very complex.
Yeah, it was a good race. I thought I was staying up.
going to catch a flight in the morning, but I'll watch it at some point. I guarantee you that. Isn't this a totally paceless race?
It seems a little pace. It seems a little pace. Bereft.
Yeah. So I think Jace's Road is going to get a clear lead, and I think Jace's Road is maybe much better than a lot of people realize. I think he just can't stand up on a sloppy track. If you cross out his two sloppy performances, doesn't look that bad. I mean, the Gun Runner was a pretty productive race. Reyes Kane and Hayes Strike, I mean, I don't think Hayes Strike is great, but he did win the private terms. And Reyes Kane was a weird race, the Withers, but he won by seven. And that horse, you know, he won easy. He didn't ask him much until the 3/16th, and he was going away from the eighth pole home and galloped out even farther. Might be dangerous if left alone, but I've been caught up in Cagliostro fever all winter, and I can't get off him now. So I think that he just had a bad start in his maiden win. He actually has a bit of tactical pace. I get the feeling that he can stay close as needed. I know Brian Hernandez chose to ride Sun Thunder, but I mean McPeak has been very loyal to him, and I think he's being loyal to McPeak. Sun Thunder could win too. I mean, I'm not ruling that out at all, just regarding the jockey change. But Christian Torres from Oaklawn rode a stakes winner. No, maybe it was an allowance race winner for Cherie DeVoe recently. So she reached out to him. He's aggressive. He seems like to put his mounts in the race. So I'm hoping Cagliostro gets a decent break and can sit right in behind, because he took a huge step forward. You know, I just think he was a little green. I didn't have time to respond when Dennington came up to him from coming from farther back in that allowance race that was got a better number than the Risen Star on the same card. I think it was a pretty legit allowance race. And I think this is a good horse who's going to be under the radar. I mean, I guess, what do you do with Instant Coffee? He's overcome a slow pace before, and that's the Jockey Club. And I think he's coming into this the right way. It was always the intent to skip the Risen Star and bring him in fresh. I don't have any real knocks on him. He just hasn't been especially fast, and I don't think he's going to be of much value, no value.
I completely agree, and you mentioned the value potential on Cagliostro, 12-1 morning line. The other day,
I don't see that happening.
No, well, here's the problem, Marcus. There's also a couple of horses that are mojo horses. I thought I had come up with something clever with Disarm, and
Single
then
Ruler.
No, Disarm.
Oh, Disarm. Okay.
And then I made the. I almost never watch anybody's preview videos, and I was up at 4 this morning, and the next thing I know, I'm watching Beer and Illman, and they both picked Disarm, and I'm like, oh, this is...
Yeah, because he ran in New York. Anyone in New York always loves the New York format.
That's great. I love it.
Well, I still think you're going to get a fair price. I think you'll be perfectly satisfied with the price you get on that horse.
Well, I've got about four. There's about four that seem like they can win, and depending on how people approach, there's a lot of multi-race action, including the Turfway/Fairgrounds Pick Five, which we'll talk about later, and there's the regular straight action at Fairgrounds. This is a very fun edition of the Louisiana Derby, which gets us to the Fairgrounds Oaks, Marcus, and this is intriguing for a different reason, and obviously, Amos having to regroup with the big filly, with Hoosier filly, and there's some serious foes lined up, even though it's only a five-horse field.
I picked Hoosier filly because I think she's everyone jumped completely off the train last time, and I can see why. She didn't show much, but I mean, she might have needed the race more than anyone realized in her camp, and I think I get the sense she's going to get a great trip in this race. I feel like she's going to sit back behind the other four, and I think there might be a solid pace on. And let's see what she can do. Let's see if she's the horse that they thought she was before the race of Alexandra. I mean, she's certainly not going to be anywhere near as short a price this time. I mean, I do think that Allie's look might be good. I got a little concerned because Chop Chop came back and was so disappointing in two races after that. I don't like to completely hold that against the horse because I think Chop Chop ran to her form when the alleys looked turned her away and beat her. But I think she's a little sneaky. I mean, Pretty Mischievous has done basically nothing wrong. She's improved since Amos and Philly beat her, since Hoosier Philly beat her in the fall, and maybe Hoosier Philly hasn't improved. We'll see what happens. It's, you know, the fairgrounds route has been, as everyone knows, such a productive way to get to the Kentucky Oaks. You got to pay close attention to these horses, but you know, I'd like to see a few more entries, really.
Marcus, Ed, before we press on, any interest in Norm Cassie's filly from the rail, Southlawn?
Yeah, I mean, she looks, that's one of these LASIK things where, what do you do with it? Because yep. She's on LASIK for the first time, essentially she pops up and looks like a world beater. Now she's off again. I'm so sick of having to try to parse this nonsense. Can we please just get some distance policies so we know what is happening with these horses? If she runs back to that race, she absolutely could win. It came out of nowhere. I know I can talk to the cast afterwards. They'd always liked the filly. You know, she'd had problems with this and that. She had the inherent ability, apparently. She certainly displayed it on the day. That was a tremendous performance. If she could run back to that against better horses, she's going to have a great shot. Yeah, I'm not going to jail in Dubai.
let's glance quickly at the Munis, and I think you're right back on two Emmys.
Oh God, I mean two Emmys was the greatest horse of our time. Why not be back on two Emmys? I mean, I think the thing is, I think you get fair odds because of a tone being in there. The tone's drawn on the rail. The rail is coming down to 28 feet. First time they've moved it off of 34 during this kind of disastrous turf season in New Orleans. So I don't know what that means. I know that it's going to be fresh ground, six feet that are uncovered. But I don't, I mean, it's a quirky course. I want a horse that I know likes that course, unless I'm getting a price. Two Emmys loves the course. There's not a ton of speed. He'll sit off a horse if he needs to. He was just like, I know that Hugh Robertson didn't have him completely cranked last time. He wants to win this race, and he's shown he knows how to push all the buttons on this horse. He's going to run at least as well as he did last time, and last time looked like he was better than he's ever been. And since he's an English Channel, I don't, you know, most horses his age, you think, well, they're on the decline, but English Channels, they're just getting good at age six. And they really find themselves at age seven. So I see no reason to think that he's going to regress. And I think he's just going to win.
Fair enough. And you made him your best bet. Let's talk about the New Orleans Classic. And here's Art Collector coming off the big snapback effort that claimed the Pegasus.
Yeah. He's no Olympiad. I'll say that. Olympiad was already, to me, a blossoming star when he won this race from Mott. This horse is going to be tough if he runs back to the Pegasus, and he might. But I'm not completely sold. I mean, he was a great price last time. What was he? 8.5-1 to 15 to 1. I mean, he was way higher than he should have been. And he's going to be way way short this time in this field, I think. That said, I can't remember who I tried to beat him with, though. Must not like him that much.
You actually picked him on top with Rattle and Roll and West Willpower.
Oh, that's what happened, yeah. Rattle and Roll was the horse that really interested me. And in the end, I thought he probably just, his baseline quality, even if he has improved at four, which I think he might, I just think he was going to get it done. I mean, I trust Ma too much. I think he had this spot in mind for a long time. He eschewed Saudi Arabia, which didn't go well for the horse at all last year. The horse suits the 9 furlongs really well. I mean, I would never bet the horse at the price I expect him to be, but I guess in the end I decided he was just a 5 furlong winner.
Fair enough. How about the Benson?
Didia. Love Didia.
This is the Nacho Correas Maribel 5-year-old.
Yeah, she's really good. She was just starting to find herself, you know, as South American import when I think her campaign ended a little abruptly. Maybe he had it in mind to give her a couple races all along. And you got, I mean, New Year's Eve coming back too. It's this division is usually pretty lackluster in these races, but those two horses plus the usual suspects make it a pretty darn interesting race, I think.
Agreed. That's the bulk of the stakes action in the second half of the card. Then they throw on a little coda, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. I'll talk about...
Well, yeah, you know, they canceled a Friday, so they were throwing those races on to Saturday and Sunday, just so you get that extra hour and 15 minutes into the noon starting time.
Do you have... who's going to win the trainer title?
I don't know. Fauché? He wins every race.
Fauché, yep. All right.
What's his stand right now? I know Brett Calhoun has won a couple races. Cox could win like five on Saturday. I think I might have picked five for sure.
Exactly. There you go. It's going to be interesting. Then you fold on. There's three more stakes on Sunday as well as the meet closes out. And they made the most of it despite the difficulties on the turf front. Marcus, thanks for this, and enjoy the action tomorrow night. And was that tonight? Whatever. I get confused,
too. No, don't freak me out, Steve. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Marcus Hirsch, everybody. DRF Hirsch on the scene again at Maidan. And Marcus has been going since it was not Al-Sheba.
Right, Steve. Good to talk to you.
I appreciate it. Marcus Hirsch, everybody, and he asked for 15, and we got 20. Nicely done. All right, let's keep. I tell you, I think we're going to basically stay on this train for a little bit on the fairgrounds front, because we're going to get Kevin Kilroy in, and then Shapiro, and then Schexnader, and then Scully, and Christofek. All right, so it's. A little bit, all fairgrounds all the time. And you know what? That's all right. I don't mind. It's a nice card. I do want to get some opinions in. We'll try to get some ideas about the... there's a couple of maiden races that are intriguing. And there may be a couple of prices, actually, that are... uncoverable. Let's put it that way. There's actually an Asmussen. I'm going to be very curious on Chad Schexnader's opinions when it comes to that maiden race. By the way, I should mention, as Kevin Kilroy joins us, I should mention that typically we hear from Magui, from Frank. Frank is laid up and had ear surgery, so we've best wishes to Frank for a speedy recovery and to get his equilibrium back, and that's why you're not hearing from Frank for this go-round at Fairgrounds. But we got KK, we got both KKs today. I got Kevin Kilroy, and I got Kevin Kirstein.
Yeah, I think that's against the law. You can't have us both. You know, sometimes people think we're the same guy, just masking up in different ways. So you're breaking the code.
We will prove that you can be. People can see you in the same, or at least hear you in the same place at the same time. Both of the KKs. Kevin, we just got off the phone with Marcus in Dubai, and we walked through the sequence. Let's do the same thing with you, and work backwards right from the Derby back through the pick five.
All right. I mean, I feel like we want to take a shot with the price in here. I think there's some runners who can step forward. I mean, Instant Coffee, I get it. 2-1 is, I think will be a short price. And, you got to trust Cox. And having so much success here, he's training fantastic. So if you like him and you like the setup there, then push him. But, there's no real pace for him to run at, at least on paper. We'll see how it unfolds. He should be able to get a good trip from that inner draw. But for me, I really love, Dennington's been one that I've been keying in on pretty hard. He's one of these nifty horses who just gets it, I mean, all these horses do for the most part, but he put it together mentally before that last race. and he knows the finish line. He knows that he's out there to beat his foes. And I just watch him train in the morning, and time and again, right before he's in company, he gets to the wire. He'll make a little surge and get up past his workmates. And seeing that, I love that. I think he's going to step forward again. I think he's going to be able to get a good trip in terms of being in the mid-pack and working out a good stalking trip. But Cagliostro, that runner from the DeVoe barn, I think he can step up in a big way. He's one of these colts who physically has been there, and it's just all about if he's going to be able to put the pieces together mentally. And, you know, just talking to the barn a bunch, he's having fun out there. He's a racehorse every day on the track. He's consistent. He's like a different beast than in the barn when he gets a little bit. He has some antics and stuff like that. So he's one I think can step up. And Pessin's horse, Baseline Beater, I think he's going to love the distance. That last race, the way he pulled away from the field, you know, not only through the wire but after the wire, he had every reason to lose that one, as he's had for most of his races. He was in all that traffic. I think his numbers are really dirtied up, and Baseline Beater is super interesting to me. So those are my top three in there. I really want to try to beat the runners shipping in, King's Barn, and the newcomers with from Asmussen Barn, Shopper's Revenge, and Disarm. And if I want to take one of the Cox horses, I think JC's Road's got that pace set up. You know, probably a front runner.
Well, another vote for Cagliostro, and I know that there's a listener that's probably approaching Tallahassee that is keeping tabs on how many Cagliostro votes on the Ocala to New Orleans drive. Marcus also on the Cagliostro, and I'm certainly using it. It's interesting how many, I think because of the instant coffee price or the anticipated price, you know, people and the bulky field and what happened in the Risen Star, it just feels like people are trying to latch on, you know, appropriately to horses that can impact this race and, you know, at a fair price. So I think we're going to get a lot of that as the morning unfolds. How about the five-pack of the girls in the Oaks?
Give me Pretty Mischievous, and I'll just take her and single in my bets and, you know, work with her. Yeah, she's, you know, it's one of these situations where the Walsh barn, they've been touting her, you know, the whole time. Ever since they got her in the barn, they really thought that she's something special. She's proven it. You know, she's been stepping forward in a really nice, steady way. No big steps forward, just a really nice and steady improvement. And I still think there's some value there. After going off 8-1 in the last race, I still think that we might get a little bit of value in comparison, right, with the short field, you know, and the alleys look, and Hoosier Philly going to be taking a lot of money too. So I think she's, you know, tactical. She can be up next to it, you know, up to the pace, and she could take the lead if she wanted it. She can come from off of it. She's got options, and she's one I want to use in there. And you know, I mean, listen, Hoosier Philly, she should run a better race. Talking to everybody on the backside, you know, talking to Tom, talking to people in the barn, watching her myself, you know, most mornings when she's out there, she looks just a little bit different, a little bit brighter, a little bit more enthusiastic. And you can just see her mind is in a good place, but we just haven't seen her heart. You know, she hasn't had to really dig in against other horses, and she's not going to get my money in this race. You know, and I think you got to go against one of these, or you know, multiple of these, and she's one I want to try to beat.
I can understand. Let's talk about the Muniz. Marcus is going to make and has made two Emmys his best bet, you know, basically envisioning the exact same thing that we saw in the, you know, in the Risen Star undercard in the fairgrounds. How does that set with you?
I mean, James Graham does such a fantastic job of making the field think that he's going faster than he is when he's up on two Emmys in a lot of his mounts. I just don't see that they're going to let him go like they have, and he doesn't need to lead by any means. He will tell you that he can come from off it, but I'm gonna try to beat two Emmys in there. My top pick is a price, you know, Rising Empire for Brendan Walsh. You know, looking at the third draft figures, this guy fits big time, and he's just been on the turf two tries. He loves it here. He almost got two for two. The one loss was the Straight Answer, that nice Cox horse, and I think he's gonna be able to work out a good trip. Flows up for this one. He gets that inside draw. Rising Empire, I'm super interested in. I also love Spooky Channel in terms of the older English channels. talking to the Barclays. He's a monster right now. He's doing as good as he's ever been doing. And, you know, remember he had that about a year off where he wasn't able to realize some success after winning that Sycamore.
That's
where
true.
He beat two Emmys. So I think he's got more to show us. And I think it's interesting that Rosario is going to get up. So we'll see if Rosario can pilot that one home. I also think they're going to sleep on Gentle Soul. Calhoun should be able to get a couple in these big races, or get one of two in these big races. So I think those three are really the ones I'm most interested in. But of course, you know, Chris Block, I love that trainer, and Turf Horses, Another Mystery, is the one that I prefer there. So a lot of ways you can go, but I'm going to try to beat a tone. I'm going to try to beat two Emmys.
I thought two Emmys made plenty of sense again, and I'm glad you mentioned Another Mystery, because I've got an interest. Pratt gets the call, and I got Gentle Soul involved as well. I went 6, 7, 3, 5. I'm never right on any of the maker horses, so I'm just not going to worry about it. The New Orleans Classic Art Collector comes to town, and you know, sometimes people say, "Oh, there's no stars." Well, Art Collector kind of raised the banner for himself as a star with the Pegasus win, but West Willpower has been clicking along. I think Neil Pessin probably felt like he made a mistake running Happy American, making that, you know, sort of last minute decision, that he was wavering in the mineshaft, and sure enough,
yep.
he was dull as can be. But he comes back, and Mr. Wireless, those are my four. I can't get away from that group, no matter how hard I looked at alternates.
Steve, what do you think about Pioneer Medina? I'm wavering, but with him. I mean, the distance is my question, but he ran a really, really good race, and
he did.
Was game even after the wire last time.
Yeah, he did, and that was a brutal beat. A Calhoun exacta was gonna send us all home happy,
it was snatched.
Not just me, everybody in the Calhoun barn, all the owners, and we were all. that was a tragedy, but respected the way. I was amazed at how well Pioneer Medina ran.
Yeah. I mean, Saez, you know, he's such a good finisher, and he was really able to keep ahead of Mr. Wireless. But Mr. Wireless went a little bit wider than Pioneer Medina, so he's got an excuse. You know, here's the big X factor, Steve. So Treasury, right? Have you seen his races from Grant Forrester? He is an all-out send, 100%. I mean, that last race, if you just look at the running line, you see 3 lengths ahead, 6 lengths, 5 lengths. That's the way he wants to go. He just wants to run so fast early that they can't get him late, because he's just a one-dimensional deal, and he stays on. Now, will he stay on for a mile and eighth? He hasn't tried before, right? So that's a big question. But here's my question: is will West Willpower tend or try to tend to Treasury? You know, who's going to go with him? Talking to, you know, Joe Krzyzewski was able to talk to Bruce Lunsford, and Art Collector, by all means, they don't want to send him anymore. He's matured. He relaxed. They think that's a more comfortable running position for him. That he was having gate troubles early on. They got Saez up, and he was able to get him out sharp from the gates and send, but that really wasn't his best way of going. So they're going to relax off and, you know, let the pace develop in front of them. And if West Willpower tends to Treasury, then I don't think West Willpower is going to be able to make it to distance and sustain it, because Treasury is just going to go just stupid fast on the front. So that gives me the nod to Art Collector. I think it's going to set up for him and Happy American. Those are the two that I really am interested in that race. I'm fearful of Pioneer Medina. I don't want to fade that runner completely. It's hard to go against Cox, especially on these big days with West Willpower, but I do feel like the Treasury factor is going to make it tough for that runner, who will by all means be tending to the pace and possibly suffer the consequences.
Well, I'll reiterate 2736 for me in the New Orleans Classic. That gets us to the Benson, and here's the Phillies and Mares going a mile and a 16th. And this is a fun group. We actually, for those that were listening this morning to the replay, you heard Jeff Franklin go over this race as part of our Winning with Thoroughgraph segment. And there's a couple of prices that might have a look in here for Marcus. It was Nacho Correas with Didia. She Can't Sing is the obvious horse. Adventuring, you mentioned Brad Cox. Nothing wrong there. Chris Block, I thought Trail Ridge Road could have a little impact at a price.
Yeah, I thought that Marcus is going to be high on Didia as well. I know we both were keyed into the Colonial Downs meet, and she was ultra impressive. For me, this is a single her, you know, that Group One winner. Talking to Nacho, I mean, she was an all out front runner winning those Group Ones, you know, the Copa de Plata, all that, you know, in really fast times, and they had to retrain her to come off of it. So they worked hard, and that first race back at Colonial Downs, there was no pace whatsoever, and she still was able to get by him at the end. She beat Alms in that next one. Really nice runner there. She's just been wintering. They've just been, you know, there was nothing wrong with the. They just didn't want to run in a grade one, and they targeted this spot, and they think it's going to be a huge year for her, and I do too. So I want a single Didia in there. Underneath, I think New Boss is really interesting. That was a really good performance in terms of Thoroughgraph, looking at the figures there. In terms of going from short to long or long to short, Brett Calhoun, he knows how to get that going. He's one of the best at that. And She Can't Sing. You can't say anything wrong about her for the block runners. She's the one that I prefer. But those are just underneath. It's all Didia for me.
Well, there's your pick five versus for Kevin Kilroy. And KK, what else on the card? Is there one of the maiden races or the allowance someplace else on the card that there's a horse you're excited to bet?
Yeah, I mean, early on, I think Fauché's got it locked up with All Night Moonlight in race one in the Crescent City Derby. I think Calhoun's got it locked up with Free Drop Maddie, race number three. Wide Open Maiden in between. I've been watching that McPeak runner, Noble Reality, and she's been working good. She's been working with Candy Raid, that nice Bourbonette winner last year, who's running in the Latonia, and she's working great. So if you're betting the Latonia, look for her to outrun her odds. You know, looking at the other spots in there, I think Raggedy Sand is very interesting. Neil Pessin's runner. She seemed like she was on the muscle and ready to win last time, and then just right before the gates broke, she maybe just shifted a little bit and false broke and hit the gate and, you know, had to scratch or, you know, put them back. So I think Pessin is going to have a good day. He's been having a great meet, and Raggedy Sand could be a really nice one at the price in there. Who else? I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go. We've got the Conceptualize coming out for Cox. It's been working fantastic. Mikey D was just talking about that on the Fairgrounds Racing podcast. You got to listen to that. Him and Chad Schexnader do a fantastic job. Just glancing over, I do like who's that other Asmussen runner who made that one start?
In the six.
In the six, is it? Not Master Psalm. Twin Mischief, yeah, but there's another one in there. I think it's in the fourth. No, the third. The second, I'm sorry, all over the place with those. But
there is an Asmussen King's Glory in the second.
It is not King's Glory. I was just talking to Summer. Here, let me just pull this up. I apologize. She watches all the Steve horses in the morning, and this, maybe it's the seventh. Well, it's got to be Super Lux. There we go. Took me a minute. Super Lux has been doing fantastic in the mornings, and you know that was a tough first run there, losing eight and having to work the way through traffic. Finished really strong. I think Super Lux number two in that seventh race is interesting with Raggedy Sand.
Two and three, Raggedy Sand from Pessin. In the seventh, you mentioned a name that I'll flesh out. Asmussen does have that pair in the filly race going short on the dirt, and Twin Mischief is 7-2. But Master Psalm is a half to Nashville, and at 8-1, I thank you. I'll be very interested in the half to Nashville at that price with Santana. Not that Rosario on Twin Mischief is a problem, but I'm going to certainly include Master Sam on every ticket.
Yeah, I was really impressed, and I was excited to bet better in on November 19th there when she made that last start as a 2 year old, and she almost got it done. The Shipman was a good runner, but there's so much speed right there on the rail, right? I mean it's Corey up, so he's not necessarily an all out send runner, but he's got the speed with that interesting Jade Geldner runner, Perfect Wish. You got Ray on the outside, Golden View. So that's the only thing that gave me pause about Master Sam was that those three might be really burning each other out and not being able to finish the deal. But I'm with you. I was impressed with Master Sam as a 2 year old.
Well, and you know, has been away since November 19th, so comes back as a first start at 3 in this spot, and seems to be working well. I think that you utilize that pedigree tie with Nashville, who got better as he got older.
It hasn't been the most banner meet for Steve's Barn, right? So possibly this is the day that he gets a few, you know. And I also think in terms of barns, who might sort of surprise, Kendrick Peaks Barn, I think, has some runners. They've been working like clockwork and hitting the track really well each morning. And Greg Geyer does a great job here running things. So there's a lot of horses on McPeak's list that seems strong too.
Well, it should be a fabulous day, and you and Joe Christofek, and I'm sure some other guests. KK, I appreciate it. Kevin Kilroy,
yeah.
Everybody.
We miss you down here, Steve.
I tried to pick all the spots that I tried to get everywhere, and we actually are coming back to town for Tina's Easter break, as it happens.
Nice.
Yeah, so we will make a third visit to New Orleans yet this spring, because Tina listened to me from Vegas, and she couldn't resist when Ben Bacek started laying out things. And she texted me or called me as soon as we wrapped up that day, Saturday, and she said, "Can we go for Easter break?" And so next thing I know, we're going back to one more time to NOLA. So, Kevin, thanks for everything. Best of luck this weekend. We'll be watching tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you. Best luck to you, too.
Kevin Kilroy, Trust Your Luck on Twitter. And what just a effervescent personality when it comes to presenting the product from Fairgrounds. We'll talk to Joe Christofek later in hour two. We got a couple of things. We got to get to Shapiro and Schexnader before the break, and then Scully and Scully and Joe. All right, so let's get Scott in here, and we will intersperse some Turfway conversation. Let's do that so we can break up a little bit of the Fairgrounds, but then we'll come right back to it with Joe. And I undoubtedly Scully's also got he'll have Turfway for you as well, certainly. But right now, Scott Shapiro standing by. Shap, good morning.
Good morning. You're following in my footsteps with 3 New Orleans trips to start off the year. I'm excited to be here for the third of the final, and glad you get to come back.
Well, you've been heading down each of the big weekends, and this is probably a good juncture to touch on. Let's do that first. Let's mention all of the promotions, because it is a monstrous weekend. It's everywhere, but on Twin Spires, there's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, I mean, the first two to bring up are, you guys just you went through with Marcus and then Kevin, the All Stakes Pick 5 sequence. Great sequence, obviously getting involved is a no-brainer, and then you add the Hit It and Split It $5,000 on Twin Spires, so clearly the place to get involved there. Just remember, as always, to opt in. Also, the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5, which is featuring, you mentioned it in the intro, for those that were listening to New Orleans Classic, Fairgrounds Oaks and Louisiana Derby make up the first, third, and fifth races. And then the two prep races at Turfway, the Bourbonette Oaks for the fillies and the Jeff Ruby for the boys, of course. And that's another Hit It and Split It, $5,000. Doing a Fairgrounds pick $5,000 show place win for Derby Day. It involves placing a $10 show bet on race 10, place bet in race 11, and a win bet in race 12. Check out the details for that on the offers tab. And then just a load of other stuff, including, of course, getting back at it in the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep race competition, where it's Cody from Kentucky leading the way, a log jam in there for second. But we kind of overstated, probably, you know, still plenty of time. Well, I don't know if there's plenty of time, but, you know, definitely jump on in if you've got a couple hundred points. Far from too late to jump over those top folks with 100 points to the winner races.
Well, and you've got, you know, between Dubai, between the UAE Derby and the Louisiana Derby and the Ruby, and then Sunday, Sunland, this is
right.
This might be moving day for a lot of people. So you sweep
exactly.
those, but it is make sure to check out everything. I just about to tweet, go to the promotion, the offers section, because this is a this the Bayou Bluegrass. I'm looking forward to KK putting a ticket together for us later as well. That's and then there's an extra $5,000 hit it and split it on that. So excellent.
Right.
I know we should talk Fairgrounds immediately, but we just
let's do some Turfway.
Yeah, there you go.
Full thank lineup
you.
Of Fairgrounds.
Yes.
I'll you know, semi-limited. So we'll start with Turfway, run through a couple of those, and then I'll give my opinions on a couple of the stronger ones than the big races at Fairgrounds. So that makes perfect sense to me. The Animal Kingdom starts the stakes action in race 7. Looks like an absolute war on the front end in this 6-furlong affair for 3-year-olds. Who can relax and finish is probably the winner in here, but it's tough to figure out on paper with so many horses that like to be on the front end. But if number 7, New York Thunder, runs back to those races to end his 2-year-old campaign in Florida, I mean, he was very impressive in both those races. It's just, you know, he looks like he's a speed horse that needs to go. He's drawn to the outside, so maybe he'll give Jose Morelos some options out of the gate, but he's got a couple of local drills. He looks like the real deal. Maybe Eyewitness, the favorite, can relax, cutting back in distance, but no real strong opinion. I do think the two favorites are the best horses, but figuring out the pace and how that's going to play out with just so many horses that like to be up front was pretty tough.
New York Thunder, and I thought Moonstrike, if you're looking for a price off that what seems like potentially a very, very clever claim off of Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, the right running style, but a much, you know, major class hike, you know, coming out of that 30, when Wesley debuting for 30, a little bit of a red flag, but, you know, definitely should get the right trip, and the right value is certainly there for that one. The Rush Away is kind of the lesser version, if you will, of the Ruby, not to take anything away from these runners, $250,000 on the line. Santorini's the 3-1 favorite. Makes a lot of sense. I think you've got to answer the question regarding the all-weather surface with a lot of these horses shipping in. Not really the case with this colt, because he ran back in December 9th when he was in the Rudolph Percet barn, albeit at 6 furlongs, and finished second to Olafabo, a speed horse that's in the previous race. But an absolutely brutal trip in the Colonel Liam for this colt, so I'm just afraid he's going to get over bet. You combine that with Irad and Todd coming to town. So I'm not overly against him, but I think the price is going to be impacted because of that, you know, the trips that everybody, the obvious trouble trips that everybody sees these days. I thought the interesting price options in here were number 5, Quadre Island, who needs to run faster, but he clearly was still learning when we saw him last, and he, you know, had every reason to not win as the favorite back on January 28th and found a way up the rail, finished very well that day. I wouldn't let him get by if he's anywhere near the 10-1 price. And then as a underneath type bomb, I like number 10, Ironsides, who finished third in the Leonidas, which was won in front running fashion by Funtastic again, who will be one of the, was one of the logicals in the Ruby later on. But this horse, you know, in for a tag multiple times, but really has taken, you know, significant step forward here. And, you know, the pace should be honest. I don't think it'll be crazy, but this horse can finish at a big price.
That's the Rush Away.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, pretty good betting race. I hate to always call big fields without a huge favorite good betting races, because if you don't have an opinion, they're not great betting races. But if you have an opinion, you should get paid in that race. And that leads us to the Latonia. Kevin Kilroy threw in a plug on Candy Raid there, who we're waiting kind of to get back to that huge effort in the Bourbon at Oaks, which is on this card, of course. And I think, you know, the setup in this race should be more favorable for off-the-pace types that might not have gotten a great setup last time, especially the ones coming out of the winter green, which is the prep for this race. When Grand Avenue Girl got to walk on an uncontested lead and, you know, kind of opened up, and they were just never going to get her. But I prefer the horses that ran second and third to her. In Kate's Kingdom, who is a little more logical, 5-1, finished second to Grand Avenue Girl, who won in front-running fashion. She's shown the ability to have an affinity for this this Turfway Park synthetic surface, and she gets IRAD, which is going to probably deflate the price, which I assume will be the case all afternoon long in Florence. But at 20-1, I think Perfect is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Barely got beat by Kate's Kingdom last time. And having that kind of first spot, if you will, when I hate to call them stalkers because they're so far off a loose leader. This horse was 3 or 4 lengths off. But you just rarely see the horses that are kind of chasing that slow loan speed winners, you know, run well. And this horse really did run well. And it's her third start of the winter at Turfway. She's hit the board at both of them. The start before it, she had LASIK. She ran well without the LASIK, I thought, in that winter green. And she's 20-1. So she's going to be a key horse for me in a race where I thought, you know, Idiomatic, the favorite, Bellamore, the second choice on the line, made sense. Idiomatic to me, a little plotty, in a race where she might be a little further off the pace, grinded it out last time out, might get a little bit over bet, but certainly makes sense. And then Bellamore, interesting spot off the bench. She has some all-weather, 2 wins at Golden Gate in the all-weather surface, but hasn't raced since that really good effort in the Fall City at Churchill over the main track, but played hard. Tough post. Martin Garcia doesn't do a lot of riding at Turfway, so it's going to be a little tricky for the daughter of Empire Maker.
That gets us to the three-year-olds, or actually the Kentucky Cup first, the Kentucky Cup Classic. And, you know, this race at one time, this race has had a rich history going back. And there's some interesting invaders here. There's some turf horses that are showing up, like Wolfie's Dynaghost and Santin, that kind of... To give you some pause. And of course, Mike Maker, he's got one virtually for every client in the barn.
Yeah, sure does. Not ideal to have a trainer with this many horses, but it is what it is. And not only does the Kentucky Cup Classic have a rich history, it almost had Rich Strike, who had to, of course, last year's Derby winner, did have to scratch out. Sounds like he'll run at either Keeneland or Oaklawn after just a minor issue. And there's plenty of speed in here, so I'm going to kind of look for somebody I think that can finish. I mean, Santin is you know, the class of the field, but I don't fully trust off the bench, and he's going to be up close to the pace. Didn't necessarily finish off his year all that well. For Brandon Walsh, I respect him. I just think he's going to get over bet. I think King Cause will take a lot of money having won this race last year, but let's look for somebody that can go to the back and finish here as a key horse. And I think that could be number 12, Camp Hope, who came off the bench in the Dust Commander, the prep for this race. And it was Ocean and Atlantique that dominated that race, one of the many makers in here in front-running fashion. Source was way out the back that day, and I thought finished well, actually got the best of Beatbox, who's a pretty good horse for Cherie DeVoe. That was the favorite that day. Nailed that one at the wire after slight stumble at the start, and that was off a significant layoff. So I'm hoping Chris Landeros just kind of angles over from the far outside draw, saves ground, and makes one run, because I do think it could fall apart, and I think this horse has a little bit of upside on the synthetic, having just raced over it the one time back in February.
Keep an eye out for Verstappen should one of those makers or one of anybody's scratch. The Brendan Walsh, the 13 that's on the AE list, very, very eligible should he get in.
yeah, he could get a really good trip cutting back from a mile and a quarter with that outside draw. I mean, a little bit would be a little bit worried about the, you know, first turn, how it would work out there, but he has the right running style to get the jump on the horse like Cam Pope, a couple of the other big long shot closers in here, and he's 2 for 2 over the surface for Brendan.
Now we're ready for the 3-year-olds and the Bourbonette Oaks. One of my favorite names of a race, the Bourbonette and the Ruby. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, Botanical is going to be the heavy favorite in here, deservingly so. Has shown the ability to win on the front end over the surface and then relaxed off a real hot pace last time in the Cincinnati Trophy, the prep for this race. One going away, coming back a little quick, 3 weeks rest. So, you know, I think that's the one potential way this horse maybe gets beat, you know, coming back quick after a pair of career best efforts. So I'm not overly against her by any stretch, but I decided to take a swing here because I think there's a lot of speed. I think there's a horse that's going to sit in the second tier that has some upside at a big price. And that's the 7 Miss New York, who hasn't raced over this surface yet, but has raced over the synthetic at Gulfstream and has a win in 2 starts over that. And then, ran a pretty better than looks third, I thought, on December 16th over the Gulfstream turf, was given some time, and then was really good, albeit 7 furlongs, which is obviously 1 turn. This is 2 turns, and it was over the dirt at Tampa. But this horse was, you know, saving ground early and finishing full of run late. So I just think she's going to get completely overlooked for Jorge Delgado, who's 27% when shipping horses out of town. And obviously wins at a high percentage just in general. So I'll take a swing with Miss New York. I definitely respect Botanical, and I do think there's going to be a lot of speed. So it should potentially collapse, even if you're looking to horses maybe underneath at big prices.
And the Ruby, which should be a lot of fun. There's a bunch of questions. You got some invaders, a little bit of everything. Ravelli shifts gears and heads to this spot with 2 fills. Probably only needs to be, might even be enough to be 3rd in this to get to the Derby. There might be some spots to reach for prices. The obvious players are you know, anywhere from 5 to 2, Major Dude on the rail, and 7 to 2 on 2 fills. Congruent is 5 to 1. Maybe it's finally Scooby Quando's turn to win a stake race.
It could be. He didn't get the, you know, he got the best of it along with Congruent in terms of a race shape. They went at it early in the Battaglia, the prep for this race, but Scooby Quando got shuffled back and really came running. I think that field was just a touch below, though, the top competitors in here. I think there's 4 horses in here that I put, you know, a tier above the rest. Major Dude obviously making a ton of sense as the 5-2 favorite. Big effort in the Kitten's Joy. You know, an understandable defeat in the Dania Beach. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf was wild. I mean, just really has done very little wrong. You've got to answer the all-weather surface. But, you know, you get IRAD and you should get a really good ground-saving trip. Fantastic again, who I spoke about when talking about a horse I liked earlier on, was just absolutely dominant in the Leonidas on January 21st. Westy Ward has given him some time since. It doesn't look like he's going to be having things easy on the front end. Maybe they'll try to relax him with Maker's Candy right to his outside coming out of 1-turn races, but if he gets a favorable voyage, he's going to be tough to pass, at least based on his 2 efforts thus far at Turfway. And then 2 fills, who you mentioned, Steve, another one you've got to answer the, you don't have to answer the class question. You have to answer the all weather surface. Hasn't raced over the turf either, but bred to love both the synthetic and the turf. And, you know, this horse was the best of the horses anywhere near the front in the Risen Star. I mean, Angel of Empire, Sun Thunder, Tappet's Conquest all came from well out of it. 2 fills was kind of in the second tier and hung around nicely. He's done nothing wrong. I've got a lot of respect for him. Almost picked him, but the 4th of the horses that I think are the top tier is Wadsworth, and he's the best price, so I just landed on him kind of as by default. He was gelded after the underwhelming first 3 races to start his career, given a little bit of time, and then Brad sends him up to the Turfway, and he dominates on the front end on New Year's Eve, and then shows the ability to relax on February 11th, taking on winners for the first time. handled Scooby Quando quite easily that day. So I'm hoping Landeros uses similar tactics based on some quotes I read. I think he will. Should get a pretty good mid-pack trip, and he's 8-1. We'll see if we get that price.
Yeah, he deserves inclusion in here, no doubt. 8-1 morning line. This is a fun group, and
it's a really fun version of this race. I agree.
Well, you put up 700,000 and you put up those points. You're supposed to get a good group, and this race has had an interesting history when it comes to Derby, of course. There it is. How about the Fairgrounds action?
Yeah, I'll go quick. Now I'm real worried about the price. I heard, the echoes of Cagliostro have been coming through.
Oh, boy.
On your radio show. Yeah. I've been on this horse for a while, so I'll stick with him. I think he's going to get a really good trip. I know you talked about the lack of pace. Marcus mentioned it. The lack of pace in the race. I think it'll be a little more honest than it looks on paper because you have Chase's Road to the Far Outside. You've got Shopper's Revenge, who hasn't gotten out of the gate, but they've been schooling him in the gate, and I think the plan is to go. I don't know other options they have. And you've got King's Barnes, who hasn't been on the lead in either of his first two starts, but breaks well. And I would think going a mile and 3/16, knowing there's not a lot of speed, they're going to want to be forward. So I want to look to a horse kind of in that second tier. And I guess I'm on the two steam horses with Cagliostro, who was much more professional last time. Has more tactical speed than that maiden breaking effort looks like. And then Disarm, who I just think has the upside here. Running in this race tells me so much. I mean, coming out of a well-beaten second where he needed the race, running him right in the Louisiana Derby at a mile and 3/16, that just screams that Steve thinks this horse is serious and wants to give him a shot to get in into the starting gate. And, of course, obviously winning this race is prestigious enough. So that's my, steam alert thoughts in the Louisiana Derby. And then I'm on South Lawn in the Fairgrounds Oaks. I just don't trust these horses that are the classier, more battle-tested in terms of this level of horses in the race. Nothing against Pretty Mischievous. She's been really good. She's the one to beat. The Alice look is better than maybe than people might expect. Chop Chop was the filly getting all the buzz most of the winter for the Cox Barn. And, I think Hoosier Filly's going to end up going off favorite again. I mean, I can make excuses for why she didn't run well last time. But there was just nothing in the lane, like one thing to have a troubled trip and just miss or. But if you're the real deal, I just would have loved to see a lot more, when she did get in the clear, at least make some sort of run and she just didn't do it. So I'm going to have to let her beat me.
All right. Any other spots?
The only thing worth mentioning, I thought the seventh to maiden special weight. I think New Beat's going to run a lot better for Norm Cassie. I'm hoping it's a big day for Norm, I guess, with South Lawn and then New Beat. This horse just didn't have a good trip back in the debut effort, and the Risen Star was beaten out of the gate, was between rivals, did stumble, maybe was already tiring, but now you get Saez and an outside draw, and we're stretching out to two turns, which I think should work out well. So I'm hoping Louis can do what he does and ride this one aggressive, get out on the front end, and then hopefully never look back at a double-digit price.
Boy, we talked about New Beat with Norm from here at Ocala, and obviously South Lawn as well, and he's confident about the weekend. He's really had an interesting winter. That's a good group of fillies. Mile and a 16th. Yeah, we'll see. Only one can graduate. Well, not if two of them hit the wire together. All right. Did you make it over? Did you make it over to Lyuza's?
I did, and I didn't disappoint. We're so past the salad, Steve, that I didn't even report.
I wasn't bringing up the salad, but if Priv is listening, he was thinking about it.
Yeah. I went back to the shrimp po' boy, so don't you worry.
That a boy. All right, I'll bring Tina when we're down there, and when they brought the barbecue shrimp, that's what we're talking about. Tina thought there were three other people that were supposed to eat it with her.
Oh man, that's a meal.
Good luck this weekend, Shap. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Have a good one, my friend.
You as well. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Shap 34 on your Twitter. Let's get to Chad in here. Chad Schexnader is going to join us. And Schexnola, S-C-H-E-X-N-O-L-A. You heard the reference by KK earlier to the Fairgrounds Racing Podcast with Mikey D, Mikey DiLiberto, and Schex, and they do a tremendous job. They track the action all season long, and it's going to culminate this weekend. Schex, good morning.
What's up, Steve? How are you, man?
I'm good. Had to get into the clocker stand with our man with Magui laid up. He's on the injured list.
He's on the injured list. We rolled a little too hard for St. Patrick's Day or something.
He had an inner ear thing. He had ear surgery. So he's
he's a little.
Some might say he's unbalanced all the time, but they're going to try to correct that with this ear surgery. So
I'm sure if he's awake and he's got an iPad, he'll be firing away tomorrow no matter what.
That is a guarantee, as will you and everybody that listened to the cast and Kevin Kilroy giving a reference as well, and you and Mikey with the Fairgrounds Racing Podcast. Let everybody know how to get to it.
Yeah, so I put the link up yesterday on Twitter, at Schex Nola, and I know it's on Google Podcasts, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple, obviously in the car. So we've had, the Risen Star podcast was the most downloaded we've ever had in 3 years last month. So
that's great.
That bodes well for this weekend, I suppose. So hopefully we get all the people out, and a lot of good notes on there on maidens, and Mike and I, we go 1 through 12. See, I don't like to go more than an hour on that thing, and with 15 races, I just had to stop it at some point, so we didn't really go too much further than the Derby. We left those three Louisiana bred races after the Derby kind of alone and just went through the first 12 and gave out some ideas, and hopefully we hit on something.
Well, 12 should be enough for everybody, but for those that want a coda, and there is late pick five and pick four action on the last five and the last four. You can start with the Muniz, you start with the Oaks through the end of the card, or the Derby through the end of the card, if you have opinions in those state bred races. Let's, before we get to the stakes, why don't you hit on a couple of spots in the first half of the card?
Okay. So looking at the first half of the card, that Crescent City, the first race, the Crescent City Derby, really goes through Ron Fauché, that all-night, I think it's all-night moonlight horse. It's just been really good, in the stretch out. Ron's liked that horse the whole time. I think he's one you could lean on in the first race there. Second race, that maiden race, has a lot of buzz going on about Brad Cox's horse, and, worked with a horse called Old Homestead, who came back and ran second for last week in a sprint race, got a little tired, but he's a stakes horse that's pretty fast, and this one did a number on him. So I think a lot of people are going to lean on the Cox horse in the second race, but there's no guarantee with these first out horses. So I think as much as that horse probably be 4-5 or lower, I think you got to look at King's Glory. Has been training good, I think Mike said in a podcast, and he also gave a shout-out to Harper Bridge. Dallas Stewart's dangerous on these days. He hasn't had a very good meet, a lot of seconds and thirds, but on these big days, he shows up, and you can bet something at a big number. May not win, but something at a big number is going to hit the board for Dallas Stewart, and he usually saves some of these maidens. So Harper Bridge kind of interests me a little bit. Mikey D, Dallas wasn't known for being a first-time starter trainer for a while, and in the last couple of years, he's done a lot better. And Mike made this horse 5-1 in the morning line, which is pretty aggressive move. So, maybe he's got a shot in there too. I think Justify is like 18% with first. There's so we'll see what happens in the second race there. So there's those two.
Nice. Hold on one sec. I want to tell people who we're talking about. The Brad Cox horse in that second is Castle Warden. One word. Castle Warden is the 4 and the 5-2 favorite.
Right, with Florent Giroux aboard and the sprint race. So Brad Cox could get his day started off pretty well. I mean, he don't swing and miss on these big days, Steve, down here. So
no.
People know, even the casual, guys that just come to the track for the big days, they know who Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen is. So those pools on those horses get floated up a little, get priced down. So let's see. Third race is the Oaks, the Philly version of the Louisiana Breds. two turns. You know, pre-drop, Maddie gets Alpine Mist on her home court now. Alpine Mist is undefeated. She comes in from Delta. Nice horse, nice Louisiana-bred filly. She beat Free-Drop Maddie at Delta, but this time Free-Drop Maddie is 7-5 favorite. She's been a favorite 6 out of her last 8. She loves the fairground, so I'm thinking Brett Calhoun wants to turn the tables on this one. This is his chance to do it. Those two look like the two horses, but you know, I think there could be a lot of speed. If those two hook up on the front end, which is very possible in this race, one that could come from behind, I think, and play hell is Olivia G. I'd give Olivia G a chance in that race, maybe if things get too hot up front. You know, and also I'd check out that bottom horse, too, that New Destiny. Florent Giroux gets aboard this one. So he's ridden her in the past, and she's got to win in two-thirds at the fairground. So maybe a price there if the favorites. They'll bet Alpine Mist down, I'm sure, a little lower than 7-2. But if you want to get creative in there, the race falls apart. You know, look for a closer in that race. You know, fourth race, that this is the dartboard, you know, that this Coastal Rising every year for Louisiana bred sprinting on the turf. And we're not going to get an idea. This will be the first turf race of the week. I don't think they're running on it today either. So, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot, Matt. I mean, you got to go deep in this race. I think the morning line favorites maybe 9-2 and Yankee 7. So Bernie's Galaxy, all these horses have played around before. But what's interesting is they're all older Louisiana breds, but none of these have more than one win on the turf course here, which is a big deal. You know, I think 3 out of the 9 do have a win, but none of them have more than one win. So that's kind of interesting. I think you can go price shopping in here. I'm really going to price shop. I mean, I think 9-5 on Brown and Brow. I mean, unproven on the turf, and I just think you can take a stand against that one. I think, you know, not much to go on in the breeding side as far as turf goes. So Bernie's Galaxy is one that likes it. Big Chopper on the cutback. And there's a whole bunch of ways to go in there. Did you have any opinion in that race? Or I haven't listened to the show this morning, so is anybody loving that race?
It's actually the first mention, and I did want you to flesh out a little bit about the turf course. You had an interesting couple of tweets yesterday, kind of getting people in the mindset, or actually it may have been Wednesday, you know, talking about some angles regarding post position and some slots that are winless at the meet. And of course, we've been watching the crazy circumstance that has had horses essentially running on the outside rail all turf season with the inside closed off. So it will be interesting to see that fresh ground and who utilizes it, but this will be the first test, and who knows? I mean, that ground might be thick and heavy. It might not help anybody.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a little bit of rain, they're saying, possibly 30-40% overnight, but it's supposed to clear out early in the morning, so that kind of throws another ratchet into things, too. But I don't think you can see so much on the outside as we did. I mean, they've been coming down the middle now, and a little more on the inside is a little better, so it's not like it was in December where nobody wanted to be by the rail. It's played a little more fair on the turf course. Now, I will say, you know, the jockeys who are here, I'd give more credence to, you know, not that, you know, Pride Rosario can't get it done, but James Graham's been riding this course very well. Ray Lou's been riding it very well now. They kind of got the feel for it, so that's a big deal.
Well, there's no real I doubt I'll even – there is a pick five that starts. There's that middle pick five, but, boy, unless you got something to – you mentioned Birdie's Galaxy, there is that performance that is – you know, down the page, that would actually fit pretty well. So, not an easy spot.
Yeah. Not an easy spot. You know, I heard some of the people talking about that you said post positions, and, you know, it's just an oddity that the 10 hole here at the meet in sprint dirt races is 0-33. That's just kind of weird to me, a sprint race, because the 11 hole has like 1 out of 5 wins, and 12 hole maybe has one wins, but the 10 hole is 0-33. What's a bigger deal to me, and it's the reason why I kind of tossed Victory Formation in the Risen Star. I didn't use Victory Formation at all out of the 13 hole that day, is the post positions 10 and out in route races going on the dirt is 0-32. So 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is 0-32 at the meet, and I don't think the 9 hole's done that much better either. So, you know, I heard Shap right there at the end talk about New Beat. You know, she's drawn outside at a mile and a 16th race. She's the 10. So, you know, that puts her up against it right from the start. And obviously, if she's the best horse, she'll win. But, you know, just something to take into account on your handicapping, you know, when you have these kind of things.
Appreciate it. Do we want to dive in? You got any ideas in that, those pair of maidens?
Yeah, I like Super Lux. I picked that horse on the podcast as my long shot play. This horse definitely wants to go two turns, and I think, you know, Steve mentioned that, which is why first time out, this horse was 14-1. You know, if they're betting on that horse from the barn, Steve ain't going to go off at the Fairgrounds at 14-1 with a first-time starter. I don't care who's in the race. And so I think, you know, got off to a slow start, but this horse wants to go long in two turns, and he just got something started, you know, last in January with this horse. So 8-1 is a good price. You know, Brian came running late a little bit from the back of the pack. I think with a better break, she could be right there in the seventh race. So that's kind of my long shot in the seventh race. In the sixth race, I think there was a maiden in there. It does a maiden race too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in that race. So Twin Mischief is one that I know they're a little high on too. That was a really good maiden race out of Saratoga in the summertime. People probably talked about that one, but she's got six published works here, 7-2 favorite. But Mike thought you could go some other places too. I give a look to Perfect Wish. This is from low level connections you don't hear a lot about. From the rail, Corey Lannery. This horse has a ton of speed and went head to head with Sweet Child of Mine that first time out, and they just lit up the track. I mean, there's no way turning for home these two horses would gonna stick around, and Sweet Child of Mine just spit it at the top of the stretch. But Perfect Wish hung in there very good. I mean for the fractions they ran, I think this horse did very, very well. It was beaten about five lengths, and the second time out here, Jade Gelder can get it done, and I think this horse can be 10-1 or higher. I give this horse a big look, and it's going to be, you know, she went off 30-1 the first time, and there was a little bit of buzz about her in the morning. So don't leave Perfect Wish out. That's a play that's going to be 20-25-1. And, you know, you got a lot of fillies in here coming off a layoff, a lot of first-time starters. She has a race under her belt. So, you know, sometimes these main races get a little crazy, and low-level connections on big days don't get to do that they, you know, that they deserve. So, you know, that's just one way, you know, you might want to throw that one into your tries and supers.
All right, let's get through the stake sequence. Run through.
So, eighth race, yeah. You know, the Tom Benson Memorials, I think there's a lot of questions in here for me. Adventuring 2-1, I don't want no part of that. What is Tom Proctor doing here with this horse? This, you know, it goes to Jimmy Graham, who's good on the turf here. This is a curling mare. The curlings get better with age. Proctor's here. This horse was favored last time at Tampa, won for a mile. I just think there could be races out there he would like to run in. He's bringing this horse here, 20-1. That horse interests me a little bit. I think, you know, Diddy obviously can win, but to me, I think, you know, Correas has his horse at Keeneland. He's got to be looking at the Jenny Wally for this horse as an end goal. So I think he's out here giving her one, you know, so maybe she's not fully cranked up. She Can't Sing's actually my top choice in there. She won this race last year for Chris Block, who, by the way, is the leading turf trainer here at the Fairgrounds with five wins. We've only run about 52 turf races, and Block has five wins from 10 starts. So, Block has five wins. She Can't Sing won this race last year. She likes this course. Brian Hernandez knows her. I gave her the nod on top here. But I'm a little interested playing around with Gather As You Go for Tom Proctor just because of the intent, the trainer intent to be here.
The great one, Proctor. The new and improved.
Yeah, that's your man.
The new and improved Proctor, complete with a hippie haircut, boy. He's looking it's unbelievable. They won't even recognize him in that paddock tomorrow.
That's funny. New Orleans Classic, ninth race in the card for older horses. I believe in Pioneer Medina now. I mean, look, I've been kind of against this horse when he's run, but yep. If you look at it, he just loves it here. And that last race, man, I mean, he dug in. Mr. Wireless should have went past him. He had the whole stretch to go past him. And even at the wire, Mr. Wireless should go past him at the wire, and Pioneer Medina just would not let him go past. And really, this horse loves a fight. The only two losses he has here at the Fairgrounds were to Epicenter. If Epicenter's not in a race, he's won his other two races. So, and it's hard for me to pick against Pioneer Medina. I'm a believer now. I know he has to catch four more pounds coming in, and he's got the bear to deal with and Art Collector. But, you know, Art Collector's probably going to get bet off the board. I mean, those two are probably going to be all I use to get through. Wes Willpower, I know I'm going to try to beat. I know, you know, all the running lines look really good on him. He's trained well here. I don't have anything really to knock him with. Just that I think Treasury could make him work a lot harder than he wants to going this far. He's a fast horse, and he's going to go out there to the lead for sure. How much does Wes Willpower want to bang around with him or wait for him to quit? I don't know. I mean, you can't get too far behind him and expect to catch him. And at the same time, out finish, you know, maybe an Art Collector or a Pioneer Medina. So Wes Wilpower is kind of in that what are you going to do range for me. So, he, you know, that's kind of my thinking in the ninth race.
Gets a Muniz.
Yep. Good.
Yep, the Muniz.
The Muniz on the turf, named for our boy Merv, the Mervin race here. So the old horse on the turf, you know, you got Maker shipping in here with a tone. If you listen to the podcast, it's a pretty funny moment. Mike and I go back and forth. And I give him a negative Maker stat from Formulator, and Mike just starts going off, yelling at me. That's a phony stat. So it's actually pretty funny. That can't be right. That's a phony stat. So you've got Maker at 5-2. I'm against the tone in here. Maker's horses just haven't performed too well on the turf here at all. He shipped in Bay Street Money last month. Bay Street Money didn't perform well, and you look back at it. I know he's a great turf trainer out there, but he has a lot of B horses out here, and he sends this one, who's obviously an A horse, but I'm going to go ahead and try to beat a tone. General Soul's one I think you got to have on your ticket. Spooky Channel you got to have on your ticket, but on the horizontals, I'm singling two Emmys here. This is my single. This is my best bet on the card. Two Emmys can become a millionaire with this win. And look, I mean, he's vying for a stakes race to be named in his honor over here if he wins this race. Yep. I mean, he loves this race course. This is his race. He gets a little bit of weight off here to the favorite. And Hugh Robertson is going to have this horse cranked up, ready to roll. I think he's got another big effort in him here. So I'm leaning on two Emmys as a single, and that's what I'm going to do in the Muniz.
Very cool. And how about the three-year-olds? Wrap it up.
Yeah, so the Oaks race, if I can make it through my single there with two Emmys, I'm going to use basically all of them in here. I mean, I just don't trust any of these horses. I think Southpaw is going to get bet down. Pretty Mischievous has really taken that next step. Looks great in the mornings, been training great. Interesting that Tyler Gaffalione doesn't want to come ride back. I don't know if that was some kind of thing with maybe just ride him one time and go back to Brian, but that kind of interests me when I saw that. But Pretty Mischievous has done nothing wrong. She's what the kids are calling a problem. She's going to be a problem for these fillies in here because she looks really good. You know, Hoosier Fillies, the one. I'm glad we see her back. You know, Tom goes for a little vengeance here. I want to see her run well and get her shot. You know, we need a lot of them. So we'll see what happens there. Alice Look is 2-1, hasn't done anything wrong. Alice Look's been training with Tapas Conquest in the morning. So Brad's pulling that filly against the boy work in the morning, and she's held her own. So, you know, maybe Pretty Mischievous. The thing is, you just don't know how the board's going to play. But I like Pretty Mischievous. If I had you put a gun to my head on top, I just think that she's the proven commodity, and she's going to give you the honest effort in that race. 12th race on the card is the big one, the Derby. I mean, I don't have anything cute here, to be honest with you. I think it's Instant Coffee and everybody else. You know, I think these big races, people tend to just try to reach and go for long shots. But, you know, you listen to the excitement in Brad's voice. He's got a different tone when he talks about Instant Coffee. So I think he's expecting a big run. This has been their plan from the time he walked out the Winner's Circle in the LeCompte, was to skip the Risen Star and work toward here. And I think everything's going perfect for him. You know, 2-1, and I think he may be a tick below that, too. So we'll see. I mean, I think they really got to beat Instant Coffee. Underneath, I kind of like this arm a little bit underneath, depending on what his price is. You know, here's the thing, Steve. This Lasix on and off thing, and Paul Matisse talks about this a lot. In the Risen Star, if you go back, and I mentioned this on the podcast, the top three finishers in the Risen Star were all horses who did not run on Lasix the race before. They ran 1, 2, 3. And the only other horse that wasn't on Lasix the race before was Curly Jack. So they ran 1, 2, 3, and whatever Curly Jack ran. The rest of those horses all had Lasix in their start. They didn't hit the board. So these races get longer, too. So this is the mile and 3/16. So you got these horses that, like this arm, you know, he's run twice on Lasix. Now he's off, and he has to go longer without it. You know, there's a lot of them that fit this bill. Cagliostro, you know, two good races, both of them on Lasix. Now he has to go further off of Lasix. It just, that brings a question mark. People say, some guys, you know, say, I don't trust that thing, I don't believe in it. Well, if it keeps proving itself over and over that these horses without it run better without it the whole time, I think there's something to it. So take a look at that angle. Obviously, Instant Coffee hasn't had it the whole time. Sun Thunder has run well off of Lasix the last two times. You know, Single Ruler's now going another time without it. So we'll see what happens. So I'll leave out my boy Pessin. Pessin might get a piece of this. he might get a piece of this coming late down the lane. Corey's going to save ground and make one big run. And let me tell you, that mile 3/16 is not going to bother Baseline Beater.
No,
so he's a horse I'm interested in, you know, in the superfectas maybe at 40, 50 to 1. God forbid if he wins it, I mean, shut down the city. But I think Corey Lannery is going to save and make one big run, and some of those horses going to get a little leg weary. I don't think this one is. So he's a big long shot play, but yeah, everything goes through Instant Coffee for me.
No, I appreciate that you know, kind of a sobering approach and. Instant Coffee, and obviously for Al Gold, who went to the Derby with Cyberknife last year and disappointing, certainly made up for it the rest of the year. But it would be really nice to go and have a big showing in the Kentucky Derby with one of the black and gold Al Gold runners. Shax, this was great. We direct.